The internet world has been abuzz for the last 3 weeks, and we've talked about it, and several of you have talked about seeing it and being awed by it. There's been a buzz about the Scotswoman, Susan Boyle, who stepped on a stage and You've Got Talent, and Britain's You've Got Talent. I want you to think about stepping on a stage in front of thousands of people, with film cameras around the room that might be showing it not only around your country, but eventually might be seen around the globe. You've played songs before, you've played your piano before, but it's been in the privacy of your own home. And long you've had a dream that someday you could sing in front of thousands of people. You've dreamed that someday you could bring the people to their feet. She told them that's what she wanted to be when she stepped on that stage in front of those three judges. Simon said, "Why haven't you done it?" She said, "Because I've never been given the opportunity." For her, that night was her chance, her opportunity, her one moment in time. What would she do with it? The crowd snickered. The judges rolled their eyes. Those backstage made jokes. She just sang. She was there to answer a question in her own mind. Did she have talent? Did she have what it takes? I want us to think about that tonight as we begin this lesson. Because we think about her stepping on that stage trying to answer the question whether she has talent and what it takes. We have here tonight, I believe, 7 graduating seniors. After services, there's going to be a banquet in the back to honor each one of them. In the weeks to come, they're going to step on the stage of life as never before. Oh, they've played their songs. They've done wonderful and great things along the way, but more so than ever before in their life, they're going to be stepping on the stage alone. They're going to step out into the world, whether it's college or career, whatever path they choose to take. And each of them may be wondering, can I do it? Do I have what it takes? Along the way, they may meet a college professor, or they may meet a counselor, or an employer. But they're going to meet people along the way, and maybe those people in their minds are saying, does he have what it takes? Does she have what it takes? Will they make it? They're going to be making choices that impact the rest of their lives. They're going to be making choices about college. Are they going to go to college? If so, where are they going to go? And most of them have probably been working on those for the last couple of years and are pretty close to being finalized, if not totally finalized. But they've had to make some choices to get to this point. Maybe they've decided to go to a trade school. Maybe they've decided to go right into a career. But they've had to struggle with, what is that career going to be? Where am I going to live? Who's going to be the person to share this life with me? Life directing choices. But they're also having to make a choice about Christ and where He's going to fit in relation to all the other choices. Tonight, as we continue to journey with Joshua, I want us to simply talk about the choice. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Joshua chapter 24. I want all our seniors to think about the reality that while you have some big choices to make, in the end, there's only one that matters. As we look at Joshua chapter 24, I just want us to think about two things. I want us to think about what was and what will be. What was and what will be. As we think about that, we're looking at the last chapter in the book of Joshua. Joshua is nearing the end of his life. He's looking back over his life. He's looking back over the history of Israel that he's experienced. He's looking back over the stories that have been passed down to him from generation after generation. And what he does in chapters 23 and 24 of Joshua is something that was common in the ancient world when somebody made a peace treaty. They had a standard procedure that they went through, and that's exactly what Joshua does, is he walks right through that process of making a treaty. And part of that making of a treaty involved looking at the relationship up to this moment. So I'd like you to join with me in reading the first half of Joshua 24. I want you to listen as Joshua talks to the people. And what Joshua is going to do is he's going to summarize over 600 years of Israelite history in just a few verses. As he talks about what was. In Joshua 24 and verse 1, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it, and to Jacob's and his sons they went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and I drove out the two kings of the Amorites before you, but not by your sword or by your bow.'" Again, he's going to go all the way back to prior to the days of Abraham. He's going to travel over 600 years and hundreds of miles back to the land of Ur, where Abraham, their forefather, came from. And he said, "You know Abraham, your great forefather? His daddy and his dad's daddy served other gods. But then I stepped in. And I took him out of that pagan background. And I brought him to a promised land." And then what Joshua does is he recounts how God worked in the lives of the descendants of Abraham. And I counted 19 times it talked about what God did. And I don't know if you saw it as we read through the text, but over and over he says things like, "I took, I gave, I sent, I plagued, I did, I brought, I delivered." He said, "I want you to look back through your history at all that you have." He says, "What you have right now is not because of your sword. It's not because of your bow. But," he says, "what you have right now is because I've been working in your lives and the lives of your forefathers and your foremothers for hundreds of years. I took them out of a land of idolatry and I brought them to a land of promise." And then he sums it all up with these words in verse 13. He says, "I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you have not built, and you have lived in them, and you are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. He reminds them of what was. Because what will be is always based on what was. As our seniors prepare for what will be, I want to challenge them first of all tonight, like the Israelites as they gathered there at Shechem in front of their great leader Joshua, as he's nearing the end of his life and wants to make sure that he passes on a heritage of faith. I want our graduates, like the people gathered before Joshua that day, to remember what was. I want you to think of all of the things that you have right now. I want you to think of the roof that you'll have over your head when you go back home tonight. I want you to think the clothing that you're wearing. I want you to think of the car that you drove here. I want you to think of the meal that you ate for lunch this afternoon. I want you to think of the degree that they'll put in your hand in just a few weeks. I want you to think of all the blessings that you enjoy in life. And while there may be some things that we have done along the way that contributed to that, I think if all of us look at our lives, we will realize that much of what we have is because of something given to us by somebody else. As we go through life, there will be times when we accomplish things, where others will say, "Good job," and they'll praise us, and they may hand us a plaque or a certificate or a trophy. And at those moments, we'll be tempted to focus on ourselves and say, "Look at what I've done." And that doesn't deny that we haven't had to play a part in the process. But I think if we're the people God wants us to be, when we get to those moments, we won't be looking at what we did. But we'll be looking at all the people who are the wind beneath our wings. All the people who allowed us to soar. All the people who made sacrifices, who gave, who went without, who let us have the attention, who let us have the glory, who let us have the nicer clothes. I think of all the times my mama wore the same dress over and over and over so I could have something cool to wear to school. What I'd like to challenge all our graduates to do is right now in your heart, I want you to think of all the people who blessed you. He said to the people of Israel, "You live in cities you didn't build. You enjoy fruits from vineyards you didn't plant." And the fact is, for all of us, were it not for a lot of city builders and vineyard planters in our lives, we would not be enjoying the blessings that we enjoy. I want you to think about the parents, the family members, the classmates. I want you to think about the teachers at school, administration. I want you to think about brothers and sisters in Christ and neighbors and friends, folks all along the road of life who have been instruments in the hand of God to bless us. I want to challenge you to say thank you to as many of those people as you can over the next few weeks. And I also want to challenge you and challenge all of us to remember that ultimately every good and perfect gift, according to James chapter 1, comes down from above. It comes from our Father. That just as assuredly as God blessed Israel, as He was able to say to them, "I sent, I gave, I brought, I delivered," so He can say to each of our lives, "I sent, I gave, I brought, I delivered." I'd like to challenge all of us right now to just stop for a moment, have a moment of silent prayer. And I want each of us in our own hearts to think about some people who blessed us, and I want us to ask God to bless them. And then I want us to thank God in our own hearts, in our private prayer, for what He's done to give us vineyards we didn't plant, in cities we didn't build. Our Holy Father, You have so richly blessed us. Father, Your grace is amazing and overwhelming. And Father, we beg You for forgiveness for taking so many things for granted in our lives. Father, I ask You to bless all the people who've blessed us. I ask You to forgive all those who've hurt us. Father, I ask You to forgive us for those that we've hurt and help us to be a blessing to others as we go on with our lives. Father, thank You for Your grace, Your love, and Your kindness. Thank You for knowing that You're with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But Joshua did not stop with looking to the past and what was. He begins verse 14 by saying, "Now, therefore." What will be is built on what was. And I believe when I look back at the past and I think about all the people that have blessed me and the God who has blessed me, then I'm overwhelmed with humility and gratitude and appreciation. And when I'm overwhelmed with those things, then I'm prepared to be what God wants me to be. And so what Joshua does after he's reminded them of what was, he said, "Lynn, now you need to think about what will be. You've got to make some choices. All of us have to make some choices based on what has been given to us. We've been given opportunities. We've been given a stage to sing on. Now what are we going to do with that stage?" Joshua looked back over his life. He looked back over 100+ years. And he had made a decision about what he was going to do with every moment. What he had done for over 100 years and would do with every moment and second he had left. In verse 14 he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want you to think about a man of 100+ years. A man who had been one of the 12 spies who had gone in to spy out the land of Canaan. And when 10 said it couldn't be done, and even when the people picked up stones to stone Caleb and Joshua, still they said, "Do not do this thing. God will give us the victory." He had led them in victory after victory. He had stuck by them in spite of their mistakes through 40 years in the wilderness. He had been there when they defeated the Amorites on the eastern side. He had led them against Jericho. He had led them against Ai. He had led them against city after city, whether it's the southern coalition or the northern coalition. You see, he had earned their trust. And he said to these people, "You do what you want, but I'm going to serve God no matter what you do." I don't think they had doubted him for a moment. Because remember, many years before, when the whole nation said, "We cannot take the land of Canaan because there are giants in the land," Joshua was one of two men that said, "Yes, we can." They knew that he was a man of his word, that there was steel in his promise. But he said, "You've got to make a choice. Will you serve the Lord?" The people responded in verse 16, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is He who brought us up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And you've got a powerful, let me stop here, you've got a powerful play on words here. A play on the word serve. And basically what they say is, "We used to serve the Egyptians, but God set us free from serving the Egyptians. So we had a forced slavery with them. Now we will have a willing servitude of God, the God who set us free from a forced slavery in Egypt." In verse 18, the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. There are many decisions that our graduates have to make. But I believe in the end, maybe only one matters. There may be other decisions that you get wrong along the road of life. If you go to college, I hope you are able to graduate and go just as far as you want to in your education. But you know, if you don't make it through one semester, you'll still be a success if you make one choice right. You may make a career choice, and you may find after you've gotten into that a year or two that that's not the route you want to go, and you've got to shift gears. Or you may lose your job for a time somewhere down the road, and you have to make a life course change in career. But you can do that, and you can still be a success if you get just one choice right. You see, as the children of Israel stood before Joshua, they stood there as a people who had made mistakes. They had battles they had won, but they had battles they had lost. They had times when they consulted the Lord. They had times when they didn't listen to the Lord. But in spite of all the successes and mistakes of the past, they could still be a success if they got one choice right. He said, choose. Will you serve God from this day forward? The nations around you don't serve God. Your forefathers didn't always serve God. But you can choose to serve God. It tells me that while I may be blessed by my family and people around me in my life, it also tells me in this passage that I am not in bondage to my heritage. Maybe I am in a family that didn't show me the Lord. Maybe I'm in a family that had struggles and hurts and mistakes. And maybe I think I'm destined to that life. Joshua says, no. You can choose in the Lord to take a different path than your parents took. You can take a different path if you'll choose to put your trust in God. But you've got to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? So my questions to our graduates are, will you serve God in your learning? Will you serve God in your career? Will you serve God in your dating? Will you serve God in the families that you might have down the road? Will you serve God anywhere the road of life takes you? Because if you make the decision to serve God, then you have made the only decision that in the grand scheme of things really matters. And at the end of your life, if you make that decision and let that decision guide other decisions, then your life will be a huge success. I want you to notice what the people said. Verse 16, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." I want to ask you, if you don't feel too uncomfortable with it, if you do, then don't do it. But if you don't feel too uncomfortable, I'd like you to stand up. You don't have to. But if you feel comfortable, I'd like you to stand up as an audience. I'd like to ask you a question. Will anybody stand? I'm not going to ask our graduates to stand by themselves because in this congregation, no one stands alone. And I think the question that we ask our graduates is a question that all of us need to be asking of ourselves. Who will we serve? Whether I'm getting ready to go off to college, or whether I'm 65 and getting ready to retire, I need to ask myself, who will I serve? So, Graymere and friends, who will you serve? On the screen is the answer that the people of Israel gave, and I'd like you to join me in giving their response. But don't do it if you don't mean it. Make sure that what you say is true from your heart. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. You may be seated. I pray that not just our seniors, but that all of us will be faithful to that pledge the rest of our lives. If you go to the end of Joshua chapter 24, it says that Joshua wrote these things down, the book of the law, and then it says he set up a huge stone. And Joshua said, "This stone has witnessed everything that has happened. Everything that I've just said and everything that you've just said, it has been a witness to. And so may it stand in generations to come as a witness of the promise we've made this day." I don't have a huge stone, but I do have a pretty big pulpit. That pulpit heard our pledge. That pulpit was present for what you just said. And may it stand as a witness to the pledge that we've made to God. Whether you're one of our seniors, or whether you're somebody who's about to retire, or whether you're somebody in between, whatever stage of life you're in, wherever it is the road of life takes us, when there are times when we struggle with what to do, when we're tempted to do the wrong thing, to go to the wrong place at the wrong time, remember the witness. Remember the night that we said, "Far be it from us that we should serve other gods. We will also serve the Lord." Would you take out your songbooks and turn to the hymn of encouragement? I want all our seniors to know how proud we are of you. Now, we can't be as proud as your mom and dad are, but we sure are proud. You've made a difference in our community, and you will make a difference in our world. And as you step out on the stage of life, we are convinced that you will make the most of it. When Susan sang, the mouths of the judges dropped, and the audience came to their feet, and they lifted up a swell of cheers and rejoicing. She took advantage of her one moment in time. I want to challenge you to take advantage of the privileges that have been given to you by God, many of those through family and friends, to use your lives to make a difference in the world, so that when your life is over, the people rejoice. They rejoice because they knew you. They rejoice because you, through your life, brought them closer to God. They rejoice because they know when you leave here, you're going to be with God, and that you left the world a better place because you made the choice that wherever life took you, you would serve the Lord. Because that's the choice that matters. And know that no matter how far you live from here, we love you and stand behind you in that choice. And we're just a phone call away. As we sing this invitation song, I want each of us to think about the choices we make in our lives. If I said tonight, "I will serve the Lord," but I've never given my life to the Lord by expressing my faith and repentance, confession, and baptism, there's an inconsistency there. If you've never become a child of God, we beg and plead with you to do that tonight. For those of us who are Christians, if we said tonight, "I will serve the Lord," but we realize we're not really living like what we just said we wanted to be, maybe there's something we need to do publicly and ask for prayers and encouragement. If there is, then please come and do it. And somebody will come and sit beside you, because nobody responds alone. If we can help you make the right choice right now as we stand and sing.